Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome in to another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bartholomew. On today's episode, I sit down with NBC10's Lindsay DeLucia. And always a pleasure to spend some time together with you right here on the pod. This was a lot of fun to sit down with Lindsay, who is fairly new to the market, arrived here in September of last year. Already made quite an impression, though, and certainly a name that comes up often when people are talking about young, rising media personalities in this market. Not only is she a rising media superstar in the Southern New England region, she is also a fitness instructor, so to speak, a spin instructor at Cycle Bar in Providence. So like me, a fellow multi-hat-wearing creative person trying to find their way in the big bad city of Providence, Rhode Island, in the Southern New England media market and beyond. So this is a lot of fun. Stand by. Coming up in a matter of moments, Lindsay, great name, L-Y-N-Z-I, Lindsay DeLucia, coming up here on Bartholomew Town. Support for the Bartholomew Town podcast comes from Newport Vineyards. Here's executive chef Andy Teixeira.
You know, the way we, you know, built our culinary philosophy on farm to table and 100% scratch. So we make everything in-house. We bake all our own bread. We cure all our own meats. We butcher animals. And we only source from farmers that we know personally. There's no frozen, you know, anything. We make everything in-house the old way, dealing directly with the producer. All local as far as produce goes, you know, within 100 miles of the vineyard. We do branch out to North Carolina for some of our beef and pork, but it was still farms that I personally went down and toured and met the farmers and spent a couple of days there seeing their production so I could, you know, be comfortable with the product they were sending us.
Discover more at NewportVineyards.com. You were in the tri-state, capital district or whatever of New York. So
yes,
that's a smaller market than we are. Is that
a little bit? So it changes every year, but Albany, I think, was around a 59, market number 59. And here, I think we're now around a number 54. So they're very similar, which was really nice to come to. It was a little bit of a jump, which was great. And coming into something that wasn't so foreign was also really nice.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you feel like instantly embraced by Rhode Islanders?
Yes. That's the one thing that I, you know, people ask me from my old market, what's different about there? And it's just the fact that Rhode Islanders love Rhode Island. And that's so refreshing.
Yeah.
It's so nice to come into, to, you know, viewers stopping you. And a lot of times I would have viewers stop me during a live shot for not so good reasons. And that's
Kind
of, that's what you get in this business sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
And you have to take the good with the bad. But here, you know, immediately coming in, I had viewers, you know, not interrupting us during live shots, but just catching us before we went on and saying, you know, how much they loved what we were doing and just how much they were appreciative of what we were sharing in the state and how much they loved living here. So it was really nice to see and to come into.
That's fun. I mean, you expect, I think, or I would expect, you know, Channel 10 being what it is. And I've talked about this in the podcast, no disrespect to the other networks, but it's a beast of a brand. Difficult for anyone else to compete with that in this market on a television platform, for sure. They are making some inroads at WPRI. They have some interesting strategies with the young political reporters. And the I-Team's got a million people in it. Pardon me, I-Team. The Target,
<that's us. laughs>
excuse me. Cherokani's like rolling his eyes right now. Target 12 has got like 12 people on it now.
Yeah.
So they're doing some branding. But it comes back to 10 here as the standard bearer. It just will. So that means that you have to step into this like extra responsibility, extra eyeballs, everyone comparing you to what they know of that market or that that
media outlet. Yeah, there's an expectation. And you know what? I want to also just say, I mean, I know how hard it is for all of our fellow journalists out here, especially today. It's a tough climate, but everyone works so hard, and I can so appreciate what the competition is doing always, because you learn from the competition always. And you make friends with them out in the field. You know, we're all one and the same. But honestly, yeah, coming into such a legacy station was such an honor. I mean, there were never openings at JAR, and when there was, I had to jump on it. But coming in, there's also that sense of a little bit of pressure to live up to what viewers are expecting. But it's a good challenge. It puts you in that position to say you can't slack off. You need to know your stuff, and you need to get out there and just really make relationships with these people, which is what I think is one of the best parts of the job.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I mean, it's at least in my opinion, it's like 50%. Some people say it's way less show business. Mm-hmm. You know, you're performing on television. A lot of people don't like to admit that. Luckily, when Gene Valicente was sitting here, he was like, of course it is. What are you, out of your mind? It's 50-50. You have to be a mind and in terms of have the intellectual skills to break down a story, process it, deliver it to people, but engage them as well. Yeah. You're good at that. That's a natural thing. Is that something that, you know, you feel like as the technology and the situation you're in now at 10, does that help you kind of play into your own skills to build your own chops, if you will?
Yeah. I mean, like the technology these days is just, it's growing so much and it's changing the landscape so much of this job that, you know, being a millennial, growing up with this technology, you know, forming your life, really forming how you're developing, it's something that you kind of have to take into your job when people are looking for that side of you, because to be more relatable is to be more trustworthy, really. And when people can relate to you, they say, I can trust that person to tell me what's going on, what's important, and, you know, what I should be thinking about. Because that's really what we're here for, is to let people know this is important. This is what you should be paying attention to. Form your own opinions on it, but this is what you should be looking at these days in your own community.
Absolutely. That's something that someone told me like a year ago. Someone's actually a judge in Rhode Island who's a friend of mine, also another millennial. I just gave away who he is probably. But when we were talking about this stuff, he was like, the goal should be one thing, and that's trust. You know, if you look at the people who succeed, not only locally, but nationally, but particularly in this market, it is so much about trust and building that relationship where it's like, okay, you know, you turn on the news and it's Allison Bologna giving you information, so you therefore are going to naturally process it in a certain way, psychologically. I don't know how you do that other than just be hitting it hard consistently and never doing anything outlandish on air.
And you know, I mean, it's tough because people see us a lot of the times as talking heads, right? So many times they have this perception of us, and they come up to us in public, and sometimes it's an automatic attack. Sometimes it's an automatic, you know, thought of who we are. But once you give that person the time of day to really let them know that you care and that you want to hear what they have to say, they know that you're a real person too. And that's what is so important.
I know that's the humanization of it.
Yeah,
politicians too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yep.
I see things on Twitter, and thinking to myself, like, wow, like, you know, you may disagree with X representative's positions to the extreme, but I mean, have you ever talked to this person?
Right.
I mean, they're a funny guy. They're a funny
person.
What sports
team do they like? What's their favorite show? You know, you could have so much more in common with a person than you think.
Right. And in this day, what's fascinating is I'm finding that, and just kind of going off a different track, but there are interesting overlaps of interests that are atypical of the national, you know, policy divide, just because of the structure of power here in Rhode Island. We have this institutional Democrats kind of situation. And then you have challengers from both the left, the right, independents. You've got people like Ken Block. You've got people like Mike Chippendale. You've got people like these Rhode Island Political Co-op members, the Progressive Democrats and the Reform Caucus. It's like all these different factions pushing back against, you know, the institution. And you would think that that would lead to this notion of cooperation. It's almost like when the aliens come and all of a sudden all the nations, you know, combine powers to, I mean, it's not that extreme. That is not that bad. Yeah. I mean, it's not, the world's not going to get blown up, but the idea is that, like, you would think Rhode Island would embrace their community more. I mean, But you're saying you have a great connection with people who come up. They're not afraid to engage you.
No, people are definitely not afraid to come up to us either way. You know what I mean? And yeah. Everyone has their own opinions, and that is more than welcome. I mean, but I also want people to know that every one of us out there, from whether it's myself or my colleagues with 10 or anyone else with 12 or with 6, you know, we're all just out there trying to do a job and yeah. trying to help. There, you're always going to have a bad apple in any industry, you know? So of course there's going to be people who don't have that intention, but yeah. the vast majority of us are out there just trying to be part of the community and trying to inform people and just help, you know? That's yeah. that's every day you go out there and you think, all right, what's my main goal today to help people out in this community and to let them know that I'm one of them? Because that's also what people don't think when they see us. Yeah. But it's important to remember.
When you're in, are you a multimedia journalist or a reporter?
Yes.
You out here doing tech cams?
Oh, yeah. A lot of time, you know, I'm out there with my camera and my equipment and people are surprised to see us, you know, out there on our own, one man banding, as many people call it. But that's just the way of the industry these days. A lot of jobs are really just hiring as MMJs, which is what they're called, multimedia journalists. We do it all, you know, which is really nice in some aspects that you kind of have control of your story from the ground up. You have this vision in your head of what you're going to talk about, but you can also visualize it in the form of a shot of a, you know, what video you're going to get to match that, which is so important, which is really what makes this job, the creative aspect of it, more so than just the writing, the pen to the paper. You know, you have that video aspect that you can help people understand a story. So it's nice to have that full range of not control, but vision of
yeah.
your story.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think that I would want that as well, you know, mm-hmm. if I was presented with that opportunity, you mm-hmm. know, and maybe that's just because I'm a maniac, you know, I named my podcast after myself, no co-host, no
big deal.
But it's really interesting because you do have so much like physical ability to shape the story at that
yeah.
point. And the,
yeah.
and what, so like, what's like, if you go out into the field, let's say you're assigned something, and what does the day look like? I mean, how does that?
Yeah, a lot of people ask this, and it's so funny. Even my mother, like every day, what are you doing today on my way to work? I'm like, I don't know. It you know, you decide when you get there because everything just falls into place. But one of the things I love so much about the job is that it's different every day. I wake up, I look on social media, I look in different newspapers, see what's going on for the day, for the week. We go in, we all talk about what's going on. And usually there are some things that are set up for our reporters to do throughout the day. But we kind of form what everybody's going to do. We plan the shows out. And if all goes according to plan, you know, which is sometimes not how it goes. So you've always got breaking news. I go out there, I start making calls, I start knocking on doors. And once we get those contacts made and you know, conversations going, we set up our interviews, we go out, we talk to people. And then usually, you know, mid-afternoon, start writing that story, start breaking down the sound that we've got, start breaking down the video. And the toughest part is condensing a whole day's work into a minute and 20 seconds for on air.
Right. So difficult. I can't even imagine the cutting room floors that you've got a shot. The sun is just
stuff.
Reflecting off the State House, you know, the independent man's aglow in the sun, and it's the perfect shot, but it doesn't fit.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the tough part is that you got to take the most important details and put them in there. And I'm so detail oriented that it's taught me, you know, good skills to cut down to the most important parts.
Yeah.
So it's a tough thing, but you know, we put that all together. And sometimes when I'm lucky enough to have a photographer and an editor who helps me out in that aspect, we do that and we go live. And it's one of the best parts of the job is having a product at the end of every day. It's really, it helps you in your everyday life have kind of goals that you set and you, you succeed in, because every single day you have a, you know, a physical piece of work that you can say, this is what I worked on today, which is really nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are really detail oriented. I remember I was filling in for Dan York on WPRO and it was the day of the Westerly shooting and it was a lot of confusion about what was happening. A lot of, you know, different reports, different things. It was very unclear situation when we went live at 3 o'clock and you hopped on at 3 o'clock.
Thank you for having me again. That was,
oh, thanks for coming on, because that was great, because there was a lot of, you know, uncertainty about that situation. I thought it was really, in fact, I got a ton of response from that coming right out of the gate. All right, let's just set it up. Mm-hmm. Here's someone who's detail oriented on the ground that can tell you what's going on. Mm-hmm. No opinion, no theories, just facts delivered as they are in that moment. So I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, you know,
that's,
no, of course.
It's not a rare thing. I mean, but there are so many times where a story like that, just as a media observer, even look at the Kobe situation, how it changes, you know, from within a 1 hour period when I first picked up my phone, I saw the TMZ story 10 minutes earlier I dropped through. By the time I got home from, I was in Newport when it broke, by the time I got back to Providence, I mean, we'd already been through three different major different versions of it. So
it's a tough thing to tackle, especially in tragedies like that, because, you know, everybody, there is an aspect of news where some individuals want to be first, and you just have to keep reminding yourself that it's so much more important to be accurate than to be first, because you don't want any loved one of a victim finding something out. Honestly, that's not our job. Our job is to inform the public once we have those facts. And sometimes it takes patience, and that's hard because you're in the middle of the situation and your job is to know what's going on, right? But especially like you were saying in this recent situation with this helicopter crash, and we saw so many different versions of what was going on. And it's just a lesson to journalists everywhere, every day, that you just gotta be patient and remember what your job is. But yeah, these things happen, and they're lessons. They really are.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, it's a sad situation, you know, that and many others. So how do you deal with that as a journalist? I mean, because there are stories that, you know, it's tough to not get involved in.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost less authentic to not get involved in it and to be like an automaton while covering it, if you don't have any kind of human emotion. So how do you balance that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to be out on the story that day, and you find yourself really desensitized, to a lot, because you have to kind of to do your job. You have to think about what your goal is and not really think about the emotional aspect of it. Some part of you, you know, there is some part that I think is very important that you have to remember that there are loved ones of victims in these situations, and you have to be sensitive to that. But there are definitely some days that I'll go home after covering a story like that, and it's tough to really decompress because it all kind of hits you at the end of that day. But it's every time you learn something from covering something like this, and you have to really let it not make you less of a human being and an emotional individual, because it can really harden some people. But you have feelings, you have emotions, and that's normal, you know?
I think you would expect people, viewers, listeners, whatever, to want that. You know what I mean? Imagine in the age of AI, if you had essentially a robot delivering the news.
Right. You don't want that. Yeah.
I mean, it could probably process, I'm sure even now, but certainly in like 10 years, let's say, there will be AI that probably can, through a network of cameras, other information gathering sources, process, fact check, and report accurate international or universal, I guess, depending on how far out we go, stories in like instantly. You know, and maybe it's already logged in our brain. You know what I mean? There's a chip that just goes boom, you know. And that's scary because I always feel like musicians, artists, journalists, in some cases clergy, in some cases philosophers, professors, they have this mirror that is like the essential thing to keep us human.
I mean
medicine, technology, that's there too, it's as important, education, etc. Education shines that mirror as well. But so you have like this big big job in the grand scheme of things. Like when we look at like the Big Bang Theory and it all mm-hmm. fizzles out, there's Lindsay, you know, shining the mirror every day.
Hey, you know, it's there are really some of the relationships that I've built in this job. Some of the best and closest relationships have come from such tragic stories because you have to put yourself in these people's shoes. And you can't, you know, sometimes we do have to go and door knock someone who's had a loved one lost in such an, a horrible and tragic way. And I don't blame them in the least if they think I'm the most horrible person in the world at that moment. But just making them see that you have just a little bit at least of a feeling for what they are feeling at that time and that you too have gone through similar situations and you are human is so, so, so important. And I still keep in touch with some of these people to this day.
Really? Some of the subjects of your stories?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Because you form such a bond with these people because you have to show them your personal side, you know? And it's all real. It's these stories hit really hard sometimes. And it's just important to form those relationships. And it all comes back to trust, really.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to be in Rhode Island for a while? What a question. I mean, is like Sinclair listening right now?
I know, right? Yeah. On the spot. No, I really hope so. I love it here. It's you know, been home for a little bit because my fiance grew up here. And so we have family here. And we're very happy here. It's just a great place to live. It's not far from my family, so that's also very nice. So we hope to be here for a while.
Take Route 90, the Mass Pike across.
That's to our old stomping grounds in Albany. My family is from the tri-state area in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Oh yeah, yep.
So it's not, you know, it's a great place to be, and I love the Northeast. We've thought about other places around the country, but the Northeast is home, and it's such a beautiful place to be.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Between new episodes, after new episodes, before new episodes, perhaps even during new episodes, head over to Instagram at Bartholomew Town Podcast. It's where you'll find some behind-the-scenes photos, video analysis, all sorts of content, even the occasional illustration. I've got one up there of Speaker Mattiello right now, only at Instagram at Bartholomew Town Podcast. Let's talk about Cycle Bar.
Yeah,
your other life. I love that you have like multiple lights that are all one thing at the same
gotta
time.
Gotta stay busy.
Gotta stay busy and I don't know, flex your creativity.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
More ways than one. Yep. That's my thing now. I just got sick of doing one medium. You know what I mean? And that's, I think that now I feel better doing different things because I'm doing different things.
Yep.
Do you feel the Cycle Bar, and by the way, why don't you just set up, you instruct spin at the...
So Cycle Bar is a studio in downtown Providence. It's a spin studio, indoor cycling. I got involved with it actually through my colleague, Lindsay Idaluca.
Oh, yes.
I know. Now, I have to address this since I have a medium here.
Yes, please.
What similar names we have. I know. I'm aware. No, I am not her. She is not me. We are two different people. I adore Lindsay. We actually...
Get well soon, too.
Yeah, Lindsay. Get well soon. We miss her so much at work. Broken foot or ankle, both, please. Who knows? But she is a superstar. Funny, quick story, sidebar.
Please.
We started our careers at the same station. She was there...
Like Bismarck or whatever it was?
Alpena, Michigan.
Gotcha.
Tiny, 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 tiny market. Market 208 out of the 212 markets that we have in this country. She was there and she left, I want to say, a few months before I got there. So I've encountered this before in my career where I went to a place and they thought that I was Lindsay Idaluca because we have very similar names. But no, it's funny. It's an honor to share such a similar name with someone. but it's been great, you know, reconnecting with her. So she actually... she introduced me to some people at Cycle Bar. I started teaching spin last year, right around March. I got certified and it was always something, it was a workout I always loved doing. I was an athlete growing up and...
Which sports?
Played softball my entire life.
Really? Which position?
I was a pitcher and an outfielder.
Fast pitch?
Yep. Oh yeah.
How's your shoulder?
Good. You know, it's, my knees are way worse than my shoulder.
Yeah. That's basketball?
Both. I had surgery on a left knee back in senior year of high school. That landing leg.
Were you as tall as you are now when you were in high school?
Yeah.
Were you like a five?
Had a growth spurt in middle school. So I think I've been like the same height for almost 10 years.
Okay.
Probably 10 years now. Yeah. So yeah, played sports all growing up and when you stop playing sports and you don't really know what to do with yourself and you have to stay active, you have to get that energy out somehow. So I stopped in college and found, you know, spinning to be just a really fun workout. I love the group exercises because it really just motivates you so much more than anything on your own. So I started doing that in college and I figured, you know what, why not teach? It's a great workout and I love being able to connect with people and motivate other people.
Nice side hustle as well.
Hey, why not? You know, nothing wrong with that.
Kidding me?
So started doing that in Albany and then moved here and it just kind of fell into place. The people at Cycle Bar are so wonderful. It's such a great community and you have that, you know, new place to really connect with people and become part of a community. And it's been awesome. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. It looks fun on your Instagram when you post the crew after
the
people you've instructed, the post workout photo is always
people love that post workout photo. I know I do. We look great.
Exactly. But, right.
Yeah. It's a good time. And, we actually just had a charity ride that we raised $1,000 to go to Australia to the wildlife.
Yeah.
So that was awesome to be part of.
I was kind of on a koala. I even thought if the zoo, let's say there was a call, what the heck, Roger Williams Zoo. Hey, look, there's an overflow of, we just cannot care for, provide you with the mechanics to nurse and rehab wombat or a koala. I was totally ready to send him down to the loft.
Yep, sign me up.
We'll take care of it and we'll get him back on the wild as soon as possible.
I mean, just seeing that was so heartbreaking. And it's hard from across the world to know how you can help, right? But just to be able to be part of something like that was really great. And
that's really cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
And the Cycle Bar's in the Providence Place Mall, right?
Yeah, it's on the ground floor. It's next to the Old Navy, which is dangerous for me. But
that's the most dangerous part about the mall then?
Absolutely.
Got it, yeah.
It's right over there, downtown Providence, which is a great area. You got a lot of walkers and it's fun.
It's right by the State House. You ever get a guest appearance, like Seth Magaziner?
Have they ever hopped on
a bike? No.
I haven't seen him in there, but I think it's not too far. Take a little walk down. Yeah.
Last question.
Yeah.
WJR moving into the future. This is something I've talked about even just yesterday with Brian Amaral of the Providence Journal. And I'm always wondering, not giving away details or whatever, but do you sense that there's going to be, we've seen Studio 10 rolled out and that is certainly successful from the outside looking in. I have no idea what the numbers are, but it's the thought of more hyper-local content coming out of Channel 10, maybe in non-traditional platforms, maybe a podcast. Do you think that's that kind of stuff is what we should expect from traditional news outlets that are delivering now primarily the newscasts and maybe a web version of that? Do you think there's more to come and is WJR going to be a leader?
I think that anything is possible in this business. It's so hard to predict because who would have thought 10 years ago that we would be, there are so many outlets streaming shows just via social media. And it's so important because that is where we see so many viewers is on our screens. I mean, that second screen used to be your computer, right? Now it's you're watching TV. You've got maybe a laptop out. You've got your tablet. You've got your phone. You're going through your phone when there's a commercial. So it's so important to keep that attention. And so, anything's possible. I think podcasting is such an awesome form of getting the word out there for anything, creativity, news. So I can definitely see outlets and WJAR has always been such a leader, which is why I was so happy to come here. So I can absolutely see, the brains at work over there. It's such a great thing about that place is that we have such an experienced crew. And we also have so many of us that have come in here who are, under that umbrella of millennials.
Yeah,
and so
younger.
That combination of brains at work, I mean, they can help us in so many ways. We try to help in different ways that, other generations wouldn't think about. Yep. So it's really just that combination of brains at work that I think will help kind of propel into the next few years, the next couple decades, who knows?
Yeah, no question about it. I was lucky enough maybe a year ago or something like that, RJ Heim invited me to watch the weekend newscast. He did a podcast when we formed a French report. So he's like, come on, you can watch it. And there's no question. I've been in some music situations, you know, certain festivals, certain mm-hmm. moments, some sports situations, certain championship games or whatever, just or certain significant mm-hmm. games as a spectator, a referee, or a player, whatever it is. And you can feel the star, the ether mm-hmm. kind of going, mm-hmm. something happens yeah. here, happened here. There's a magic that happened here. And when I stepped out at that Channel 10 set, mm-hmm. you felt it. That was the same thing. I haven't, yeah. I felt that at the WPRO studios as well, where when I opened the door, my life kind of changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you feel like, oh, wow, that's, yeah. there's dust from something in here. There's
it's some, special.
There's something special.
Yeah.
I don't know how to articulate more than that. Yeah. So for me, Channel 10, you know, you that has mm-hmm. that, all right, you know,
yeah.
keep it moving.
Yeah, absolutely. Always looking forward, always looking to be just a source to the community of yeah. not only news, but just you know, happiness and just a trustworthy source of everything that they can look for. So I think it's well on its way to keep doing that. We've got a lot of people at work back there, and it is a special place, like you said, and it's a really special place to be. I'm really happy to be there.
Thanks for coming to Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's... Lindsay, not Lindsay.
Yeah, L-Y-N-Z-I. It's very, everyone, it's a little confusing, but
hey,
that's okay.
I'm glad they didn't it's make different. You, my, actually, my wife was like, didn't you already have her on? Like, if like 2 months ago, I was like, no.
But I do the whole explanation.
I'm glad they weren't like, all right, we're going to call you like,
they didn't
you know,
make me
Kate
change
Johnson.
My name. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was surprised, but I'm very grateful for that. So that's
awesome.
Nice.
As always, great to spend time together with you right here on the pod. Remember, new episodes every Tuesday and Friday on your preferred pod app or ripodcast.com. Until next time, I'm Bill Bartholomew. We'll talk soon.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.